Manuscript Releases, Volume 7, Numbers 419 to 525. M.R. Number 496. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You must stop and rest and be happy and not worry your mind about the responsibilities of the work and cause of God. Be peaceful, calm, and happy, and trust yourself in the work and cause of God, feeling that you are now to soften, sweeten, ripen up for heaven. God loves you, but you will, with your advanced age and your strong peculiarities, certainly mar the work of God more than you can help it. Poor, half-decayed fruit and vegetables should never be placed upon the table because it is a savings of a few pennies. This kind of management is a loss, and the body that should be nourished as a temple of the Holy Ghost and be fitted to do the very best kind of work is neglected. Many speeches were made in regard to self-denial and self-sacrifice that were wholly inappropriate and uncalled for. Brother Blank was so reduced by poor food and by want of conveniences and proper, careful attention while absent from his family that he had no strength to withstand exposure and disease. He died a martyr to misconceived, crooked ideas of what constitutes health reform and self-denial. He always had little thought for his own convenience and was left too much to himself to care for himself. He was willing to do anything to save means. Such conscientious souls are the ones who are hurt by these overstrained ideas of what constitutes health reform. Sister Blank's family have been injured by the ideas she has entertained of health reform. Brother John has been a hard worker, and the food taken into his stomach has not nourished him. It has not supplied the wants of his system and has not made the best quality of blood. The weakness from which he is now suffering is caused by a poverty of the blood more than by any real disease. Why will not men and women to whom God has given reasoning powers exercise their reason? When they see their strength is failing, why do they not investigate their habits and their diet and change to a different diet to see its effect? The sufferings that have been brought about by a so-called health reform have militated greatly against true reforms. These narrow ideas and this overstraining in the diet question have done great injury to physical, mental, and moral strength. Our missions should be conducted in a merciful way. It never pays to cheat the stomach of healthful, wholesome food, for it is robbing the blood of nourishment, and in consequence, the whole system is deranged, the whole mind diseased, and God has lame, inefficient service in place of healthy, sound labor. There are sufferers on every hand because people do not think that the body needs special favors. Elder Blank is a man of power. He has a clear conception of vital truth and has an influence over others. He was grieved that you did not receive the help in the study of the Bible that he thought you needed. He erred in feeling hurt that you did not manifest a deeper interest in the study of the Word of God. But you erred also in withdrawing yourself from needed help. The Lord has not given you, or any other brother or sister, liberty to withdraw from the help and knowledge which Elder Blank's long experience would have given you. You cannot be his judge, for you are finite and cannot read the hearts of men. I am sorry that Elder Blank, by his impetuous spirit, has weakened his influence with you and others. But this has not weakened his influence with me. I know that this hastiness of temper is his infirmity. He will always have to guard against this failing. But I rejoice to think that he has made such good use of the time and ability which God has given him. Had Elder Blank made a tirade against me, whom he calls mother, I should have felt sorry, because of the injury done to himself and to the cause of God. But I would not have turned away from him. He loves the truth, and the Lord loves him. After these outbursts, he feels sorry enough, and at such times he needs the grace of the Lord and the help of his brethren, that he may make decided efforts to overcome. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. James 5, verse 9, 17. The question is asked, have I not a right to do as I please with my own body? No, you have no moral right because you are violating the laws of life and health which God has given you. You are the Lord's property, His by creation and His by redemption. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The law of self-respect for the property of the Lord is here brought to view. And this will lead to respect for the obligations which every human being is under to preserve the living machinery that is so fearfully and wonderfully made. This living machinery is to be understood. Every part of its wonderful mechanism is to be carefully studied. Self-preservation is to be practiced. As yet, we have received only 250 pounds from you. Special direction was given in regard to the manufacturing of health foods, but lately we have not had money to invest in peanuts for our family. We eat no meat or butter and use very little milk in cooking. There is no fresh fruit at this season. We have a good yield of tomatoes, but our family think much of the nuts prepared in a variety of ways. I cannot eat a great variety of food in the vegetable line. Sometimes I venture to go a little farther in taking dried peas, prepared as I had them prepared at the sanitarium, but it costs me too much. Gas accumulates and crowds my heart. I am so thankful that the Lord has given us enough to eat. There are poor families who do not have enough to satisfy hunger. I am thankful that I can eat my two meals and feel in every way comfortable. Apples here are high and of an inferior quality, but we shall soon have fresh oranges and lemons. The Lord desires to lead us all gently and consistently. It is the enemy who seeks to drive us to extremes. He would be pleased to see the conscientious advocates of health reform require that which God does not require. He would be pleased to see them placing on their own tables food that is not acceptable. Be sure to help the souls that are ready to perish. Oh, it does me good to hear that sinners are being made to understand how they can be saved. Do not forget that a worker must not take upon himself so many burdens that his soul will become weary. His first and greatest care should be to keep fresh and fragrant in spirit. In the unfolding of God's plan, we are to be restored to a state corresponding to the perfection of divinity. This is accomplished through the death of Christ and through His mediatorial work in our behalf. As we move forward in the fulfillment of God's plan, our character is established in holiness, and we gain more and more knowledge of God and of Christ. We are ever to remember that we are chosen of God and precious, and that the saving of souls is to be our one great aim in all that we do. Fathers and mothers should be united in standing firmly for temperance in all things. Such temperance means much. It means respect for every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It means respect for the laws of nature. It means also respect for the perfection displayed in the natural world. Look at the lofty trees. Look at the lovely flowers, growing in profusion over mountain and valley. God has clothed the earth with tokens of Eden's loveliness. He loves to look upon the flowers, and He has provided them for us in endless variety to minister to our happiness and to teach us that He is a lover of the beautiful. In His Sermon on the Mount, Christ called attention to the flowers, drawing from them a lesson of simplicity and quiet trust. If we would only see and appreciate the Lord's goodness and love and His unceasing care for us, how changed this world would be. If we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the principles of righteousness would guide our lives, and self-seeking would find no place in our hearts. The desire to do our own will would be submerged into the desire to do the will of God. We need to cherish a constant realization of God's love and goodness. We need to remember that He holds us accountable for the use that we make of the gifts that He has bestowed on us. Teachers and students are to cooperate in doing their best. The constant effort of the teachers should be to make the students see the importance of constantly rising higher and still higher. Careful attention is to be given to the little things. Nothing in the house or about the premises is to be allowed to present a slack, dilapidated appearance. The horses are to be carefully stabled, and everything about the barn and stable is to be kept neat and clean.
We have no right to tax nerve and muscle so severely that we readily become excited, speaking words that dishonor God. This is not in the Lord's order. He wants us to be always calm and forbearing. However inconsiderate a course others may pursue, we are to represent Christ, doing as he would do under similar circumstances. We are to obey the words, "Be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves." We are to keep our nerves in such a healthy condition that we shall ever be calm in speech and righteous in action. It is by the quality of our work, rather than the quantity, that we shall be judged at the last great day. The workers in Nashville have passed through a severe trial of their faith, but recently the Lord's providence has been working for them in a remarkable manner. Not long ago, an opportunity came to them to purchase a good meeting house in an excellent part of the city for $5,000. This property, with the lot on which it stands, is worth $20,000. The church belonged to the Baptists, but was too small for them, and they were anxious to sell. The church is of solid brick. The seats are cushioned, and the floor carpeted. There is a pipe organ built into the wall, and there is also a good piano. When I heard of this favor that the Lord had bestowed upon his old, faithful workers, I thanked him with heart and soul. These brethren have borne the burden in the heat of the day. They carried on their shoulders the burden of raising funds for the building up of our institutions in the beginning. Together, with my husband and myself, they bore all the load under which they could stand. They united with us in the early stages of the work, and ever since then their one aim has been the upbuilding of the cause of God in our world. My husband, the old warrior, has gone, but I am still on the field of battle. The Lord still permits me to have a part in his work, and for this I thank him. While selfishness abounds in the world, see that you keep your own soul free from every taint of selfishness. Let not one thread be drawn into the web of your experience. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Just before his departure, Jesus said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Here is the mark to which we are to endeavor to attain. The work of the Lord must advance rapidly. We have not time to notice the objectionable words or actions of others. Let us not risk our soul's healthfulness by speaking impatient words, whatever may be the attitude of others. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In your letter you speak of the rescue work in the poorer parts of the city. I am glad that you feel a burden to help the very ones who need help. Christ desires his work to become the light of the world. He himself came to make known to all classes the gospel of salvation. But it is not your special duty to make great efforts among the worst classes of society. There may be associated with you some who should work among the unfortunate and the degraded, but you are especially fitted to labor for the higher classes. Your influence with them would be lessened should you be associated largely with the rescue work for those who are generally regarded as outcasts. Released, April 28, 1976.